All right, been a little while. Welcome into Double Fries No Slaw. What is it today? Tuesday the 10th. And yeah, it's been some time. It's been a little slow. February felt like a month where less was happening. Obviously, Gus retired at the very beginning of the month. There were certainly things going on, but I don't know. It felt like a good time to just take a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break. Haven't done a Sunday show in a few weeks, and we haven't done a morning show since, man, I don't even know when. Maybe around the time Gus retired. Maybe we just did a reaction to that. I'm not sure. But we are here today. For anybody that tunes in, there is a call-in link at the top of the description. You know what, Harlan? I think you can. Actually, you know what? I'm not sure if you can because of the live chat. So you have to just throw it in the live chat. I don't know if you can pin a comment while a live show is going on or not, but I don't know if people can see that. I don't know if you can comment the call-in link and then pin it on YouTube or not. That might be asking a lot. But there is a call-in link if anybody wants to call in and chat. I know it's been a few weeks since we've done this, so I don't know what numbers will look like. But a few things to talk about as spring gets underway. And honestly, I just missed you guys. So here we go. I do want to talk a little bit about, I've ranted about this on social media, and then I've got a friend that I've ranted about this to quite a bit. So I'll get the spring game rant out of the way at some point here. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well, whether you watch this live or on the clip later. And Mike talked a little bit about the QB competition, or maybe lack thereof. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. And we can talk some big picture stuff, and then just anything else you guys want to bring up. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to comment. I'll try and go through all the comments too. You don't even have to super chat. I'll just try and read everything that comes in unless they get too crazy and then I'm not able to see what's going on. But let's get rolling. I will, as we start out, I will give some love to Tallahassee Ford. Have seen them a few times here recently, and excited to continue to do stuff with them. I told you guys about the Knights of Shine event that they did. They've got more going on. They do a ton in the community for those that follow the baseball team, which shout out to Campus Course for the hat. But I'm going to the baseball game tonight in Gainesville, by the way. They work with Miles Bailey. They do a ton to give back to people, and we'll have more on Tallahassee Ford in a little while, but have enjoyed that partnership and always want to give them some love as we see good things that they're doing. You've been reporting on Miami. Listen, I've been doing a lot more on the national channels just because I don't want to go all doom and gloom on this, but obviously Florida State is depressing and they're not doing a lot. Recruiting is not recruiting being what it is. I mean, they lose an offensive coordinator and they don't even hire another coach on staff. Like, they just promote Tim Harris and they don't even backfill like the opening. So I don't really know. I mean, the last month, what has been going on in Florida State land, you know? So I don't know, but yeah, doing a lot more on the national channels. Miami's certainly part of that. BYU, a big part of that. Tennessee. So if you're not subscribed to any of those college football addiction channels, then go do that because I still do rant over there. All right, on the spring game, I would really like to hear what people's thoughts are in the spring game. And I know a large portion of folks will just say, I'm in a bad mood. I wasn't going to the spring game anyway. I don't care. I don't want to see this team play. So all of that, I get that, right? And I think there's some of that is said in truth and some of that is said because everybody's in a bad mood and we just say things. The spring game, I don't think it would have been like crazy attended. I don't think we would have set a record like we did under Willie with 50,000 people there. I do think you'd have had a few thousand, you know, a couple tens of thousands, you know, like 20 to 30,000 people at a spring game, which is not like an insane number by any means, but the attendance that Florida State had at the end of last year, right? You know, the Bama game would be well attended. And then the three games after that, Kent State, East Texas A&M, and Miami were all sellouts as well. So Florida State had really good attendance. But then later in the year, after you lost to Stanford, you still had really good attendance for the Wake Forest and the Virginia Tech games. Now, one of those was homecoming. One was the last home game of the year. So senior night. But you still had really, really good attendance. Like, you finished second in the ACC. And I was surprised by the attendance late in the year. And I'm not telling you that I think they would have had just some record-setting, crazy attendance had they done a spring game. But I don't think it would have been as bad as people think. Like, I think you would have gotten between 20 and 30,000 people to a spring game. And when you renovated Doak and you said, we need to have more events in Doak Campbell Stadium to pay back this $500 million in debt that we've got right now, canceling events and not holding events in Doak Campbell Stadium doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I am very intrigued to see what the numbers look like. Obviously, the Bananas was a great turnout, and Florida State packed out Doak Campbell Stadium for that. I'm very intrigued to see what the attendance looks like for the PBR that's coming this weekend. I get emails every other day from FSU, like BOGO tickets and trying to encourage people to come to that. So my assumption is that that's not sold out, but maybe they have a big walk-up crowd. Maybe there are people from South Georgia and South Alabama and the Panhandle and stuff that do come to that event. But I mean, I'm a little intrigued to see how that does. But all that said, I don't know if your idea was like, let's modernize the stadium and let's add all these luxury benefits. I don't know why you wouldn't open up the West Sideline Club, obviously the suites, the Champions Club, Renegade Hall, like all these places that you can charge more for, which Florida State has typically done. Like, typically spring game tickets the last few years that we had spring games were $5, just kind of a get-in price, really just to count admission. And then you could pay $100 for the Champions Club, or I'm sure it'd be even more for the West Sideline Club, or if you bought a suite or things like that. So I don't know why they're not taking advantage of that and trying to make money that way, because they're in such a deficit. Spoke with folks at FSU here recently, and then at other schools too, on just the cost of putting on a spring game. And it's just not, it's not astronomically high. Like, it's not, they're not doing it because of costs. Like, oh, well, we lose money on the spring game, which they very well may, but like, you're talking about losing less than $100,000, right? And so from that perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Norvell's answer on it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I pulled up Sinone's tweet when he talked about it. He said, Norvell confirms no spring game for FSU, says that's a trend around the country. I want to talk about that for just a second, it being a trend. But with just 15 practices, he felt like there was an element of holding back during spring games, felt it hindered the process of development. That was ultimately the biggest factor. So I'll talk about the trend in just a second. But as far as holding back, when I originally read that, I thought he was talking about the players holding back. And I've changed my thinking on that, but I'll answer it both ways just in case, because he never clarifies anything and he just kind of talks in coach speak, because ultimately I think he's miserable and hates his job right now. But if it was about the players holding back, I would call 1,000% BS on that. And I have moved off my thought on that. And I don't think he's talking about the players there. I think he's talking about himself and the coaches and stuff. But I do have an answer for both and a problem with both. Players don't hold back when they play in front of people. And if your worry was, we're worried about players playing in front of people, then I got bad news for you, because you got to play in front of people 12 times this year. And if that was at all the worry of players holding back, which again, I don't think is the case, but if that is what he's implying, that's dumb. Everyone in the world tries to show off more when people are in front of them. I was telling a friend the other day, when I go out and play basketball with my daughter in the front, if there's someone watching me, I try harder. And if no one's watching, it's just me and her, then I don't care as much. And so to think that athletes would ever hold back when more people are there, that's just not the case. Second, if he was talking about like the coaches trying to hold back and, you know, not scheming things up, it is a glorified practice. And spring games have always been a glorified practice. So this idea of we are holding back because it's some kind of a scrimmage and it's on TV or people can see what we do, I mean, if that's the case, it is one practice out of a 365-day calendar. Now, you obviously don't get 365 practices, but if you think that even one practice out of a 15-practice spring, if you think that the limited amount that you have to hold back there as a coach is – not worth the benefit to your fans of having a spring game and getting football in the spring? I don't know, man. That just seems off to me. The last two times that Florida State has held spring games, they won 13 games and they won two games. Literally as good as it could get, and then literally as bad as it could get. And so to think that what happens in spring and holding an open practice or a scrimmage in front of people has any at all impact on what will end up happening in the season, to me, feels completely misguided. It feels like a complete farce. I don't want to go as far as to say it feels like a complete lie, but to think, oh my goodness, if we have a spring game, it's going to hurt us from a season perspective, which is what I think Norvell is implying there. We hold back, and so it's not good for development. If you think by the 15th practice, you having to hold back is going to impact the season, then why was the season so good in 2023 when you did have a spring game? And why was the season so bad in 2025 when you didn't have a spring game, right? So I don't know that I buy that completely. I think ultimately he just doesn't like it. He knows that fans are going to boo. He knows that people are not happy. He knows that the team stinks. And so he doesn't want to do it. It sounds better to say, oh, we're worried about development. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. Even though the logic doesn't necessarily track, I don't think I agree with that at all. You held a spring game in 2022 and you won 10 games. You held a spring game in 2023 and you won 13 games. So don't tell me, oh, we're worried about development. We're worried about development in one practice. And I would wonder, like, okay, let's extrapolate that out a little bit. You're worried about holding back. Are you holding back 75%? Are you holding back 50%? You know, like you're only going 75% of showing things. Does that holding back 25%, I'm just assigning like an arbitrary number to it, but is that really what's going to tank your season? Is the fact that you held back a little bit in one spring game? Indiana had a spring game last year. Miami had a, you know, like I just, how many teams that went to the playoff last year had a spring game? I mean, Ole Miss, I think, is the only team that went to the playoff that didn't have a quote unquote spring game. They had more of a fan event where they had like 7-on-7 stuff and they signed autographs and they did things for the fans. Every single team that went to the playoff had some kind of spring day event for their fans. So this idea of, oh man, we really think this hurts development to put on a show for the fans. I don't know, man. Bobby had a spring game every year and it didn't seem to hurt development. Jimbo had a spring game every year and it didn't really seem, you know, they set records for margin of victory in 2013. So I don't know, not buying that. I think it's BS. I think the spring game, and I know the fan base is not in a super happy spot. I think a lot of that is the online fan base. I think, and I'm not telling you that every person in Doak Campbell Stadium last year was just thrilled beyond their minds, but you still packed that place out after losing four games straight and after losing to Stanford. You still had a really good crowd when you came back home for those last couple games. I think much like politics, the online portion of this country is enraged by everything. Well, the online portion of this fan base is enraged by everything. We're all mad. We're all upset. Whatever. The everyday person that just enjoys going to the games, isn't on social media, isn't checking every recruiting website for every single update every 4 seconds, just like the average American might be a little annoyed by things, they're not mad online all the time. I think the average Florida State fan is not just mad online all the time, like you and I might be, because we're habitually online and probably should fix that. We're probably not at the same time, just like the average online political fan is just always mad about everything. So, and that's why people showed up to the games at the end of the year, because they weren't just mad online fans like you and I might be. So I think people would have shown up for the spring game. I think people do like taking their kids to Doak Campbell Stadium. They sold out a fake baseball game where guys do backflips and throw the ball between their legs. They'll do fairly well, I think, with PBR this weekend. And so taking that away from the fans, taking that away from the local economy, talk about how COVID and how, you know, restrictions like that hurt the local economy, and how people count on people like Garnet and Gold and Madison Social and, you know, Guthrie's, or just, you know, who, I don't know that it really impacts people like Tallahassee Ford and stuff, but how like the local economy is helped when you do hold massive events in town and center them around football in a football town. Ultimately, I don't think the administration, I don't think the program cares about that stuff. There are people that cannot afford to go to games because of the prices of game weekends and hotels and travel and everything else that are able to attend spring games. I think they're mostly fun events that are pretty lighthearted. You can't lose them. And so the opportunity to go into Doak and hear the war chant and be part of that event, I think it sucks for the casual fan who wants to go enjoy that with their kids. It's not the end of the world. I understand that too. I understand that I just spent a 10-minute rant on this, or maybe even more time. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's a sign of something bigger. I think it's a sign that Norvell understands that he's in between a rock and a hard place right now. I think he understands that this roster very likely is a talent downgrade from last season and wants to put that pressure off for as long as he can. He talked about it being a trend. Last year, I ChatGPT'd this or Googled and everything else. I believe either 17 or 19 programs canceled their spring games. The biggest contributing factor to that last year was the fact that there was a spring portal window. And Matt Rhule at Nebraska was the first one to come out and say this: hey, I'm not doing a spring game because I don't want to put my best talent on display and then get robbed blind in the spring portal. I thought that was a very slightly cowardly. Nebraska went like 7-4 again, 7-5 again this year, like they do every single season, which again would be an upgrade for us. But I thought that was slightly cowardly, but did make a little bit of sense. Like, I could wrap my head around that logic. Hey, I don't want my players getting robbed blind after having a great spring and lighting it up in a spring game, so I'm not doing it this year. Spring portal no longer exists. Like, guys cannot transfer now in March and April, or April, you know, late in the month. So guess who's doing a spring game this year? Nebraska. Like, Matt Rhule's objection to doing the event is now no longer there. And he said, sure, sounds good, we'll do a spring game. Auburn, similar situation. Texas didn't come out and say it, but they canceled their white and orange game. All three of those programs doing spring games this year. Other programs did cancel, like Missouri was doing some renovations on their stadium. So they canceled for 25 and 26, but their plan is to bring it back for 27. Florida State had canceled theirs long before Nebraska due to the renovations of Doak Campbell Stadium. I thought last year it made sense for Florida State to not have a spring game. You had the spring window concerns. Mike gets bent over backwards every single offseason on guys trying to transfer or leave or not be part of the program. And so you had the spring window, you had renovations to Doak Campbell Stadium. You were coming off a 2-win season, so it was going to be a poorly attended spring game, no doubt. And so for all those reasons, I thought last year it made sense. They would have had to move it. And so you talk about the cost of just hosting a spring game, it's much more expensive to go play it in Orlando or go play it in Jacksonville or Tampa or something like that. So I thought it made sense to not have a spring game. Not doing it this year, well, it's not the renovations. It's not the spring portal. You improved overall on the season, though we weren't happy with a 5-win season. You certainly improved and bought yourself another year. And so this trend of what, 17 to 19, again, based on if you're looking at ChatGPT or Google, I didn't go through and look at every single program in college football. I believe about 6 programs are not having spring games this year. Florida State being one of them, Missouri being one of them, another smaller team that just their coach left. I forget who it was specifically. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think Florida State and Missouri, again, because of the renovations to their stadium, and they're planning on having one in 2027, we'll see what happens. I think Florida State and Missouri may be one of the only two Power 4 programs that are not having an event, not having a spring game. Notre Dame opted out of an entire bowl because of how pissed they were that last season ended, and they're having an event. So I don't know if you go from, you know, 17 or 19 down to like 6, I don't know that that is a trend that is happening in college football. I think it's more of, we just don't want to do it. Now, I'll eat crow. If we get to the end of this spring and 17 or 19 or 15 or 20 or 25 programs end up canceling this event. And next year we get to 30 programs aren't doing it. And then the next year we get to 35 or 40. And then the next year it just goes away completely for everybody. Sure, Mike Norvell was completely right. It is a trend in college football. I don't think it is a trend. I think you had a very unique year last year where some major programs like Texas, Auburn, and Nebraska all canceled theirs and other programs followed suit. I don't think we're moving towards a trend of this. Now, again, we'll see in 5 years what it looks like. I think that's a load of BS. I think that you should be doing something for your fans in a day and age of NIL and the transfer portal, and you don't even really know who's on the roster or who's playing for your team, whether it's FSU or another program or whomever. I think that it would be nice to do something for your fans. I think we talked about this last year. What Ole Miss does is actually the best event in the country. They do a bunch of drills. They do games. They do a meet and greet with the players. They do autographs. They do 7-on-7 stuff because nobody, I don't want to say nobody, very few people go to the spring game to watch offensive line technique. They go to watch highlight plays. And so they do some 7-on-7 stuff, which is not putting your plays on display. You're just kind of running routes and enjoying, you know, the highlights between the skill players on both sides of the ball. Ole Miss does the best event in the country. Unless you're just like a diehard football junkie and you're just like, nah, I want to see helmet on helmet. I want to see a big time play back and forth with, you know, like an Ohio State spring game or just whatever. Florida State could very easily do something like Ole Miss does. Ole Miss does it for their fans. And somebody asked me just about what Florida State could do. And I just said, well, look at what Ole Miss does, right? They're not putting any of their players in harm's way. They're doing something to just give back to the fans. And ultimately, that's not Florida State's goal right now. I think their program's goal is survive and advance, like get to 2027 if you're the FSU staff. I don't want to say it as brashly as I said it when the administration chose to bring Mike Norvell back, but I'm just telling you, Mike Norvell's concern right now is not what's best for the fans. It's how do I keep my job? That's a crappy situation to be in, and you would love if the fans were cared about at all, if the local economy was cared about at all. But that's not even a top five priority when it comes to why Florida State makes or doesn't make decisions. So I don't want to say it as brashly as old Jeff did when he made that thumbnail for War Chant, but they ultimately don't care about you. So if you wanted to take your kids to that game, sorry about your luck. My coffee maker is broken. There's a transition for you, Harlan. My coffee maker is broken, so I had to make Bustelo this morning, which is quicker, but listen, I'm not as tough as I used to be. Just like straight black coffee, Bustelo type stuff is, I don't know, that's just not my, that's not my jam, but did it anyway, so I don't get a caffeine headache. I'll read some comments real quick, and then I want to talk about this QB battle. I don't care about the game. My question is, are they going to let y'all in practice so we can hear how the team is going and not coach speak? No, practices are closed. Now, I will tell you this. I've gone to one practice my entire life. I don't care about them. They don't, you know, they don't do anything for me. But the B-roll, like Brendan and Chrisney and Ira and those guys that are up there are not going to be at practice. In fact, last year, I think they let them into one or two scrimmages, maybe one in spring, one in fall. So you at least got a little bit of an update. But no, completely closing practice again. The idea that that was Gus Malzahn's thing may or may not have been true, but even with Gus gone, Mike likes it closed, so we're not doing that. I saw my guy Wesley outside of Hauser before the Bananas game. Dude, I'm never near the Villages, but just let me know a day, and I'll come up there. So we'll figure that out. I've always enjoyed the spring games for several reasons, but not much we can do. In my opinion, we won't see another spring game until we have a different coach. Yeah, I agree with that completely. Mike has always hated them. Personally, I do think he is, Mike is, for all that I've complained about with him, he is just a straight football coach. And he does truly believe, now I don't think this is as big of a deal because again, Indiana found a way to have a spring game and still, you know, have an insane season, Miami, all these things. Mike does truly think like, okay, if we're not just using every single second of every day to get better, then we're losing out. I don't know that I agree with that completely. Spring games have been a thing for 100 years. Yeah, like you can maybe not 100 years, but for a really long time, 50 years, I don't think it's hurting you to have this, But I do think that in his mind, he truly does believe that. He truly does think, I can get more out of my team in a closed practice or a private scrimmage than I can in a spring game. I don't think it's as big of a deal, but I do think he truly believes that in his heart of hearts. He's always hated the spring game. That's why they start him out with the first half being all drills and situational crap instead of just things that would be good for the fans. Florida State spring games under Norvell have not even really been an enjoyable experience because of how much he hates them. So when you think about what you're losing by not being able to go, I mean, you are losing less. People don't go to spring games to watch high quality football. They go to get back around their friends, to tailgate, to enjoy Doug, to do the war chant, to celebrate. The Battles End did a couple of great events around spring games a few years ago. You're not getting any of that, right? So it just kind of is what it is. But yeah, they will not do another one until they have a new coach. So maybe in April of 2027, we'll have a spring game. And you know, I think the last one that I went to was maybe 2021, 2022. So I didn't go in 23 or 24, I think. But maybe I'll go next year. Maybe I'll go in 2027. So, all right, let's talk about the quarterback battle. So Mike was asked, I think Corey Clark asked this, just how the last couple of years, actually every year that Mike has been here, I guess we had like a fake battle between Milton and Travis, but was just asked about how, are you excited that this year you don't have just a guy that's automatically penciled in as the starter? Last year, obviously you had Tommy, the year before that, DJ, a few years before that, Jordan Travis. And Mike said some good things about Sperry, said some good things about other quarterbacks, but then basically brought it back around. And I wish I had the clip because that way I wouldn't be putting words in somebody's mouth. But Mike essentially came out and said, but we brought Ashton Daniels in for a reason. Like, I mean, he didn't come right out and say, like, that's your starter. And I do believe that if Sperry was just night and day better than Daniels, or if the JUCO kid was night and day better than the rest of them, I think they would start. But I think Mike's going into this pretty much having a penciled in starter, which to me, I'm not trying to get on here and just be negative about everything. I don't know that that's a good thing. I don't know that. I think it would be better to have a true quarterback competition. In fact, we did a clip on this. We did a video on this not too long ago, maybe in late January, about how good it was that Florida State was going to have a quarterback competition, about how the last few years you haven't had that competition of just iron sharpening iron. You had a starter penciled in, and that was your guy. You knew that Jordan was going to be the guy, right? You knew that for at least his last 2 years, they brought in Milton the year before that, and then Milton couldn't beat him out on one leg. Then you brought in DJ, and then you brought in Tommy, and that was the guy you were riding with. Him being so narrowed in on Daniels, I mean, and maybe he already knows enough to know that Daniels is so far ahead of those other guys that there really just will not be an opportunity for a quarterback battle. I think that possibility definitely exists. That's a problem. You didn't bring, I mean, this guy was a third stringer at Auburn. And that means you didn't bring enough talent in, both in your recruiting ranks and your transfer portal classes, to give yourself a chance with anyone else. And you had opportunities for that. There were big names that were floated around this program, and Florida State just didn't get close to any of them. I think that's a little bit concerning. Now, Daniels may come out and absolutely light things up. I don't have some grand hope that he's going to be a top 20 quarterback in this sport. I don't even know that he's a top half of the ACC guy. Like, if you think about the quarterbacks that are in this league right now, he's certainly behind Mensa. He's certainly behind, you know, you just look at the other quarterbacks, Louisville, SMU, he's behind NC State. With Bailey, I think he's behind a lot of guys. And I'd love if he ended up working his way up into that top half. Tommy probably exceeded expectations for me slightly, especially expectations that I had for him at this point of the year in March. So, Tommy, and if he exceeded expectations, like if I was expecting him to be like a five, he might've been like a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10. I'm not telling you that Tommy was great by any means, but he was probably slightly better than I expected. I thought Florida State would win 5 games. They won 5 games, and I don't know that the losses were necessarily all on Tommy's shoulders. And he beat Bama for you, right? So he was maybe slightly better than I thought. Daniels could certainly do that too. I don't think Daniels takes you from like a 5 to 6 win roster up to like 8 or 9. And that would be the kind of improvement that you would want to see in year, 7 under Mike Norvell, this coach that's supposed to be really good offensively, supposed to be really good with quarterbacks. And so to not even have a competition, you know, we were all told last year how good Sperry looked and how much as a true freshman he came in and impressed. And when Brock Lent, when you know, Tommy went out to be, you know, because he was injured against Stanford or had the hobble leg against the FCS team you played, you thought, okay, well, Sperry's coming in first ahead of Brock Lynn. Like, that's probably a good sign. We might actually develop a quarterback. And you get to year two, and an Auburn backup is now head and shoulders above where a guy that Mike Norvell recruited out of high school is. Jaden O'Neal hurt, not going to participate at all. Yeah, I don't think it's a great sign. Now, if Ashton Daniels comes out and just absolutely lights things up, then great. You didn't need a quarterback competition in spring and in fall. Like, you were good to go. You were all set. Mike Norvell hit in the transfer portal. I don't know what my thoughts are on thinking that Mike Norvell found something in Ashton Daniels that no one else in the world could find. I would love if he strikes magic here or, you know, catches lightning in a bottle or whatever cliche you want to use. I just don't know that that is a realistic thought that I really think is something that's going to happen with Ashton Daniels. I think he'll be serviceable. I'm not down on him in the way of, man, I think we're winning 2 games or 3 games or anything that's just disastrous. But I don't think that you're bringing in a guy that's going to win you games. I think you're going to ask Ashton Daniels to use his legs effectively. He's probably, I don't know if he's as quick as Tommy, but he's probably like straight line speed faster, breakaway type speed faster than Tommy. He's very athletic. He's bigger. You might not get hit. He might not see as many injuries or dings or nicks as Tommy got. He can make the throws, but he's very inconsistent. And so you're hoping that he can manage enough games and you can run the ball effectively. I like their running back room. I do trust Herb Hand. And you're hoping your defense plays a little bit better so that he doesn't have to go out and win you games like you needed Tommy to go out and win you games. You needed Tommy to go out and beat NC State for you. You needed Tommy to go out and beat Clemson for you. You needed Tommy. It took a heroic performance, and he still wasn't able to beat Stanford or UF at the end of the year. UF won mostly because of defense, but the offense did nothing in the second half that resembled anything that would look like a competent unit. So I'm not so down on Ashton Daniels that I think he's the worst quarterback in the league or anything like that, but I certainly am not expecting him to go out and light things up. And again, if he comes out and does light things up and he is just phenomenal for you, then great. Hats off to Mike Norvell for finding another kind of diamond in the rough and turning him into something that's really great. Again, when Jordan first got here, he wasn't allowed to throw the ball either. And so Norvell and his staff did a great job with Jordan. If he can work that magic again, then hats off, and complaining about not having a quarterback competition in the spring was stupid by me. I think it's a sign of a bigger issue where you haven't recruited well enough to even have a quarterback competition. You haven't portaled well enough to even have a quarterback competition. That's more of the big picture issue. Now, again, he comes out and does phenomenal things, then great. I'll eat the crow. I'll say it was stupid to even think that you would need a quarterback competition with somebody. Nobody was complaining in 2013 about the quarterback competition because Jameis came out here and lit things up. Nobody was complaining in 2016 when Francois had a great year about, oh man, but we should have had a quarterback comp. No, if the play on the field is good, then nobody, I'm getting choked up. If the play on the field is good enough, nobody's going to care what happened in spring, good, bad, or indifferent. My concern is I don't think this team is going to have elite quarterback play. And so not having guys that could push Daniels to be better or not having guys that could just take over instead of Daniels is going to end up being a problem. That's my thought on the quarterback battle. My thoughts, whether there's a quarterback battle or not, have not really changed. I think this is about a 5 to 7 win team, and I would be surprised if Florida State fell under that threshold. I'd be surprised if they won more than seven games. We've talked about the schedule. We've talked about how tough it is. Opening up with SMU, who I think has like two ACC losses the entire time they've been in the conference on Labor Day night, is obviously massive. And then Bama a couple of weeks later is huge too. You're going to get the test right out of the gate. You also welcome Clemson to town. You welcome Florida to town, who you did not look competitive against either one of those teams. And you have to go down to Miami. To me, that is five very realistic losses right there. That's before you have to go on the road and play Pittsburgh on a Friday night. You have to go on the road and play Louisville on a Friday night. You have to play Virginia, who you scored a lot against, but you couldn't stop a nosebleed against them. And they were in the ACC championship last year. And then NC State comes to town as well, who you, again, just didn't look incredibly competitive against when you went up there and played in Raleigh. And that was a week after Miami put 40 points on them. You didn't look super competitive. So the schedule is very tough, but I think this is a 5-7 win team. If you split the difference there and say they probably go bowling at 6-6, one win either way shouldn't really shock anyone. Football's a weird sport that the ball bounces weirdly and, you know, results sometimes don't go your way. So if Florida State can be on the lucky end of a bounce or two, maybe they can get to 7. If they're on a bad bounce or two, maybe they only get to 5. 4 or less would surprise me. 8 or more would surprise me. We'll see on the quarterback. Any other thoughts? That's all I've got for those two things. I think Daniels will be good. It just sucks we will inevitably eventually lose Sperry. Yeah, what I think is interesting about Sperry, to me, it's always interesting, like, where a guy ends up. Did Brock Glenn end up at USF? Is that what ended up happening? Glenn transfer. No, Western Kentucky. So that is usually my litmus test. Like, if we lose Sperry and he goes down out of the Power Four, I don't really know what you lost there. And I'm not saying that Sperry does transfer. I'm not saying that if he ends up going to a good program that's on or around your level, like he goes to a Virginia Tech, even like maybe a step down, but goes to a Virginia Tech, goes to a Virginia, goes to an NC State, that still is a really good spot for him, right? You have DJ Lagway went from UF to Baylor. Well, UF is better historically. Baylor's certainly been better the last few years. So to me, like, that's kind of the measure of a quarterback. If Lagway would have gone to the Citadel or, you know, Kennesaw State, then I think you say, yeah, well, he wasn't very good, right? That'll be my ultimate judge with Sperry. If he ends up transferring to a program that's worth anything, then I'll say Florida State blew it. If he ends up going to a Western Kentucky or a USF or a program like that, then I'll say Florida State probably never had a quarterback that was going to compete here in Tallahassee. I think when we took Sperry, not to disparage him or be super negative, I never had high hopes that Sperry was going to come in and light things up at Florida State. I think you were kind of hoping and praying, but I didn't know that Sperry was good enough when we took him to think that he was going to be Florida State starting level caliber. So we'll see on that one. That's why I think Sperry still has a chance to play for us at some point. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all, Smoke, if Sperry played this year. Like, I'm not expecting. I mean, it's very hot and cold. He'll have a game where he'll go out and throw 3 touchdowns, run for another one, and you'll be high on life. It'd be great if that could happen against SMU or Bama. And then he'll have another game where I have 3 turnovers. Like, that's just, and so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he has a bad game and you go out and you go to Sperry. I think he's more ready to play this year than he was last year for sure. And Tommy was never just like god awful, right? Like, Tommy, just at his worst, was a little bit banged up from the injury and he'd have a turnover or two. It was never just, I don't know, one of those Jameis games where he'd have 3 picks or something like that and you just needed to bench him. Or let's not talk bad about Jameis. One of those Lagway games where he has 5 interceptions in Death Valley. I do like Daniels' size. Wesley mentions that. At 233 and a little bit bigger than Tommy was, you would think these are a little bit more durable. Hopefully they don't run him into the ground like they did Tommy. The most frustrating thing about Tommy is that he got hurt against, I think it was the Kent State game. why he was running then. I don't know why he was running late in that game when you were scoring on every single drive. But, you know, why was Jordan Travis having to run against Northern Alabama? I don't know. Sometimes the staff does interesting things. How many times does Norvell have to prove that who he is and that 2023 was a blip? I don't know, man, until people around the athletic department nut up and pay the buyout. You know, that's probably how many times it's going to happen. I don't have a great answer for you on that one. I don't know that I could tell you, oh, he's got this many chances or that many chances left. If the buyout wasn't what it was, I already believe he wouldn't have a job. You know, it's frustrating to, you know, like, I don't know if you guys watch Ari and Andy. I don't know if you watch JD Pakel. I don't know if you watch Pate, but they've all said this. I need to catch the most recent Cover 3 pod as well. But everyone in the industry basically just says, yeah, Mike Norvell's back at another year because they couldn't or didn't want to pay the buyout. Like, that saved him. And that's a frustrating spot to be in. Just, yeah, we know you suck, but we just can't afford to get rid of you, so we're keeping it. All right, cheaper to keep her. And so, yeah, it is frustrating. At this point, why would any great high school QB commit to FSU? Yeah, I mean, this is frustrating, and I haven't really done a ton of content around this yet, but just some different thoughts. Sorry. Harlan, yeah, you're good whenever. But yeah, if you're an elite quarterback or an elite, like any position, yeah, I won't go deep into what I was just gonna say, but yeah, if you're an elite at any position, you know, is Florida State the best spot for your development? Take away NIL, everybody pays money. Take away competing. Well, no, compete. What do kids want? Well, they want to get paid, they want to win games, and they want to get developed for the NFL. So I think Florida State can still, at a like top 20 level in the sport, not top 10, not top 5, nothing like that. I think very comfortably at a top 20 level, Florida State can pay athletes, football specifically. So you check one box. But if you're an athlete that wants to get developed for the NFL, are you confident that Florida State's doing that? Maybe at some positions, maybe not at others. Are you confident that Florida State's going to win? Not really. So you're maybe one and a half out of the three things that most kids want. So yeah, I mean, I that sucks to say, but I don't blame any kid that's like, I don't know if this is what's best for me right now. I might have grown up an FSU fan, but I also want to be paid well. I want to win games and I want to go to the NFL. So I don't even think it's just quarterback. I think it's every position. You're kind of considering, is this what's best for my development? Is Florida State what's best for me to win games and make it to the NFL? That's a sobering reality because I like FSU. I'm wearing an FSU shirt, an FSU quarter zip, an FSU hat. It's all over the back wall. I send in my booster check this month. Like, I don't know what you want me to say, but like, man, if I had a kid that was blessed to play Division I football, do I think Florida State would be the best place for him? I mean, would I still want him to go there? Probably, but I would understand if he didn't think it was what was best. So I agree. What QB left and we missed on? I don't know. We had Lagway in on a visit. He went to Baylor. Who was the other kid that we had in? Was it the North Texas kid? Or who was it Mestemaker? We had two other quarterbacks in that were kind of highly sought after, and we went 0-3 on them and ended up with Ashton Daniels. Ashton Daniels committed like 2 days later. I don't know. That was back in January. I can't think of that. I think Marshall is the future under Mike Norvell. We'll see. Marshall maybe have 2 years in the system. Andre mentions, we'll see if Marshall's coach is here for that second year. I would love to think that he could come in and maybe do something crazy like Trinidad did, but you're really hoping and wishing on that one if that's the case. Are we willing to do whatever it takes to get Kiffin, but couldn't go out on a leg for Franklin, who is turning Vatek into ACC Kings? Virginia Tech had their highest recruiting class of all time with James Franklin being there for like 3 weeks. I was told that folks at FSU did not like James Franklin. I was told that that was just not a match that they wanted to go after. I think James Franklin was waiting on the FSU offer, and that's why he didn't sign with Virginia Tech for a long time, and Florida State had zero interest. So Florida State swiped left on Franklin after Franklin swiped right on them, and they didn't want to be any part of that. I think James Franklin would have been a good hire for Florida State. I've been on record saying that 100 times now. And yeah, it's going to sting to watch Virginia Tech actually be good. Wes has to go. Kale Rocks, appreciate you. He should have played Sperry last year. Miami doesn't care about high school QBs and nobody's making a big deal about it. I agree with that, but you know, Indiana just took their second transfer as well. You know, and I know Miami's gone 3 years in a row doing it, but I think the formula, I mean, you look at the elite programs in the sport, Miami doesn't care about, they go out and get the best available at that position. Indiana went out and got the Heisman Trophy winner from Cal, got a Heisman Trophy winner from Cal, obviously hadn't won it yet. And then they went out and got Hoover, so they went and got another transfer this year. Oregon doesn't care, excuse me, about recruiting high school quarterbacks, as they have Dante Moore back another year this year, and then they're going to roll with Raiola, who will have been a second year in the system, but another transfer quarterback. Texas Tech went out and got Sorsby. I'm trying to think of all the teams that were in the top four. Ole Miss gets Chambliss back, but another transfer quarterback. They will go transfer again after that. LSU didn't make the playoff, but they went out and got a transfer quarterback. Who else is up there? Okay, Georgia did have Gunner, so that's a high school kid. Obviously, Texas has Arch, so that's a high school kid. Who else was in the playoff? James Madison, Tulane, doesn't count. Notre Dame, homegrown quarterback, CJ Carr committed there. Ohio State, who do they have? Saiyan, transfer quarterback. Who else was in the playoff this year? Who am I missing? Ohio State, Oklahoma, transfer quarterback. Alabama, homegrown, he was there. So, yeah, more teams in the playoff have. And I'm not trying to give Miami a pass or talk good about Miami, but I just think that's kind of a trend in college football. Yeah, Mario has not done a good job of recruiting high school quarterbacks. He recruits everywhere else really well, but with the resources they have, they're able to just go out and get it done at the transfer position. But I do think that is, I mean, if you're building a roster, and like I just said, more playoff teams had transfer quarterbacks than didn't this year, I think that's going to continue to be a trend. I think you're going to see guys at that premiere of a position. You don't have time to develop elite superstars like you maybe once did. And so you go out and you just get the best available. You just steal from the Arizona States and the Dukes and the Washington States of the world, and you get a transfer and you try and make it work. So you are right, but I also don't know that Miami's doing anything differently from that quarterback position than anybody else is. So, all right, I think that's all I've got for today. I wanted to talk about quarterback, wanted to talk about spring game. Maybe we'll do this again next Tuesday. Maybe we'll do a Sunday show. I don't know. We're just kind of playing it by ear. Yeah, we'll see what happens through spring. Whenever, I don't know when the first scrimmage is. I know I had that written down somewhere, but maybe we'll continue to do this. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, watching, hanging out for a little bit today. We will be back very soon. Appreciate our friends over at Guthrie's. Appreciate our friends over at Tallahassee Ford. We will talk to you guys soon. Gunnels.